Welcome to the Creative Biolabs Science Channel. At Creative Biolabs, we specialize in providing customized viral research services and a vast array of viral antibodies to researchers. Tune into our podcast series for intriguing insights into the world of viruses, and make sure to subscribe to stay updated with our latest episodes.
Good evening, dear friends. Thanks for tuning in to the Creative Biolabs podcast series. It's a pleasure to welcome Professor Williams back to the show. Last time, we delved into the function of viruses. Professor, what's on the agenda for today?
I'm thrilled to be here and excited to discuss something fascinating, the origins of viruses.
Throughout our evolutionary history, viruses have been pervasive pathogens in our environment, infecting us throughout our lives, which seems quite unfair. Do we know where viruses come from?
The origins of viruses are ancient and the details remain uncertain. The definitive answer to this question may be elusive. Viruses might predate cellular life, could have appeared concurrently with cells, or may have evolved from early cellular life forms. Even today, viruses continue to be a scourge to humanity because we lack vaccines or treatments for many viruses. Despite their tiny size, these invasive viral particles can overpower the entire body, leading to disease, permanent damage, or even death.
As life on Earth has evolved, the strata have yielded a wealth of fossil remains for scientific study. Can we explore the origins of viruses through fossils?
The fossil record allows us to look back billions of years, where we can see our primitive ancestors and the microfossils representing the earliest forms of cellular life. However, viruses are too small and fragile to fossilize, so they cannot be detected this way. Without physical remains, their ancient history remains elusive.
Current research suggests that analyzing genomic mutations can construct genetic lineages for plants, animals, and bacteria. Can we explore the origins of viruses in this way?
That's an excellent question. Analysis of genomic mutations serves as an alternative to fossil tracking, allowing scientists to align study subjects with the fossil record based on known mutation rates, illustrating relatedness and key species divergence points. However, applying this to viruses is challenging due to their rapid life cycles, high offspring production each generation, and accelerated mutation rates. Consequently, the accuracy of genetic analysis for viruses diminishes significantly beyond a million years ago, making it impossible to trace their origins or identify any common ancestors with other life forms, as these would have existed billions of years ago.
Besides fossil tracking and genetic analysis, do we have other methods to study the origins of viruses?
Certainly. The absence of concrete data does not hinder scientific speculation about the origins of viruses. There are two primary hypotheses. The virus-first hypothesis, which posits that the ancestors of modern viruses existed independently before cellular life forms, and the cell-first hypothesis, suggesting that cellular life forms appeared first, with viruses deriving from these cells. If the virus-first hypothesis is correct, viruses would be ancient, predating ancestral life forms. Conversely, in the cell-first hypothesis, viruses could have appeared any time after the development of cellular life, potentially making them evolutionarily younger than primitive cellular ancestors.
I'm curious, which of these two hypotheses about the origins of viruses is more plausible?
Both hypotheses are theoretically plausible. The cell-first hypothesis seems more intuitive, given that viruses depend on cells for reproduction, suggesting they appeared after cellular life. However, the possibility that original life forms were self-replicating catalytic RNA molecules, precursors to both cells and viruses, cannot be dismissed. These could have differentiated into cellular and viral lineages, with viruses possibly not initially dependent on cells, acquiring this trait over time. Thus, it is conceivable that different viruses emerged independently through either pathway. While it may be challenging to definitively answer whether viruses or cells came first, ongoing research continues to explore these possibilities.
The hypotheses about the origins of viruses are fascinating, akin to the chicken or the egg conundrum. How is the virus-first hypothesis proposed?
The virus-first hypothesis was initially suggested by microbiologist Felix D. Hurrell nearly a century ago and has since been refined. This hypothesis suggests that self-replicating RNA molecules, possibly existing before or alongside the earliest cell-based life forms, could represent the precursors to viruses. Over time, some of these RNA molecules may have developed primitive capsid structures, while others evolved into DNA-based forms. Following the emergence of the last universal cellular ancestor, various pre-viral forms invaded cells, finding these environments conducive to replication. Gradually, they became dependent on host cells and lost the ability to replicate autonomously, thus becoming the ancestors of modern viruses.
It seems that the virus-first hypothesis is theoretically sound. Is there any evidence to support this hypothesis?
Yes, there are two primary pieces of evidence supporting the virus-first hypothesis. The first is that most known viral genes do not resemble any cellular genes, suggesting a distinct origin prior to cellular invasion. The second piece of evidence comes from viroids, plant pathogens that lack capsids and whose genomes encode no proteins. Some viroid RNAs exhibit catalytic activity, hinting at their possible evolution from self-replicating ancient RNA molecules. This suggests that viroids could be remnants of an evolutionary stage before viruses developed capsids for host transmission.
Although the virus-first hypothesis has robust support, it is not the only hypothesis about the origin of viruses. Does it have any issues?
One challenge with the virus-first hypothesis is determining whether all modern viruses stem from a single ancestral pre-virus invasion, or if multiple independent invasions by different pre-viruses occurred, leading to the diverse viral lineages observed today. If a single ancestral lineage were responsible, one might expect some genetic or protein similarities across all viruses, which is not observed, supporting a polyphyletic origin where various viral lineages emerged independently across different times.
Despite the substantial evidence supporting the virus-first hypothesis, the cell-first hypothesis also has significant backing. How is the cell-first hypothesis proposed?
The cell-first hypothesis includes two models, the escape hypothesis and the reduction hypothesis. The escape hypothesis suggests that viruses originated from mobile genetic elements, small nucleic acid fragments capable of moving within a genome, that acquired the ability to exit their original cells and transfer between cells, eventually developing capsids to aid in their spread. The reduction hypothesis posits that viruses evolved from degenerated cellular organisms that gradually lost non-essential genes and cellular features, retaining only those necessary for viral functions.
You've explained it very clearly. What about the reduction hypothesis?
The reduction hypothesis is supported by the discovery of giant viruses like Acanthamoeba polyphaga mimi virus, which possess unique genes resembling cellular functions, indicative of a cellular origin. These giant viruses are seen as potential intermediates between traditional cellular ancestors and modern viruses, hinting at a gradual reduction in cellular complexity over time until only the essential viral components remained.
It's not clear exactly how this gene reduction occurred. Is there any evidence to support the reduction hypothesis?
Yes. Significant evidence supporting the reduction hypothesis emerged with the discovery of the Acanthamoeba polyphaga mimi virus in 2003. This giant virus possesses numerous genes that were previously unidentified in other viruses. Crucially, many of these genes encode proteins involved in cellular processes like metabolism and protein synthesis, which are typically absent in viruses. This suggests that these giant viruses could be a transitional stage from cellular ancestors, retaining some cellular genes that most traditional viruses do not. The existence of giant viruses provides compelling evidence that some viral lineages may have evolved through a process of cellular reduction, gradually losing non-essential cellular functions while retaining those necessary for viral propagation.
Although evidence supports the cell-first hypothesis, the distinct genetic makeup of most viruses suggests a possible independent origin. How does the scientific community view these two hypotheses?
The debate continues, with some scientists favoring a viral origin from cellular ancestors, while others support an independent viral origin. The unique viral genes suggest a lineage not currently represented in cellular organisms, possibly pointing to extinct life forms. Thus, the scientific community remains engaged in ongoing research and discussion, applying new findings to these hypotheses to further our understanding of viral origins.
Since there is no consensus in the scientific community about the origin of viruses, how will scientists continue to research the origin of viruses?
The scientific pursuit of understanding viral origins involves continually refining and testing various hypotheses against new data. This iterative process helps clarify which hypotheses are more likely based on accumulating evidence. Research methods are constantly evolving, allowing for more sophisticated data collection and analysis, which is crucial for advancing our understanding of these complex biological questions.
The origin of viruses is an ancient and eternal question, and exploring it remains a compelling scientific endeavor. As we continue to gather more data, our understanding of viral origins will undoubtedly evolve, offering new insights into this intriguing aspect of virology. Thank you, Professor Williams, for your insights. We look forward to continuing this discussion on the coevolution of viruses and cells in our next session. See you then.